Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day today. Hope you guys are staying strong and healthy. And be sure, if you guys want to take advantage of the sale, on sale for last day, the GHI Cleanse product of the week, over 12% off on sale right now at healthmasters.com. So be sure to check that out. Whenever you guys want to stock up on it, that'll be on sale too tonight. And then whatever you guys are voting for will win tomorrow. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be the D3. That's one of our number one selling products. Incredibly important. We talked about in detail. Go more on this week if it wins. But that looks like it's winning by a landslide. So be sure to grab the GHI Cleanse on sale right now. And one article that I saw earlier, there's another study coming out now talking about the danger and side effects of statin drugs. And we've talked about statins for decades. Dad's gone into detail on them and the unnecessary use of them, so to speak, for cholesterol lowering, when in most cases you can get your cholesterol back under control with a healthy diet and natural supplements like the Cholesterol X or the Himalaya Body Balance and a few other supplements that I'll talk about later on. But one thing about it that we have found is that if you've noticed, the AMA, American Medical Association, has continually lowered the recommended cholesterol range every single, two or three years. They constantly do this.
They do it all the time.
Sell
more drugs.
It's push more drugs. And to a point, there's an article on the website you can read at Health Masters where it discusses how they now recommend that people should start going on statin drugs, even if they have healthy cholesterol, just as a preventative measure for heart disease. The problem with this is nobody, when they're being told this by their doctor, is ever given the long list of side effects that come along with statin drugs. And what's interesting about it now is there's another article that just came out now discussing how statin drugs not only deplete vitamin K, they also are raising heart calcification risk. They said that statins impair the production of vitamin K, which is crucial. That's why we have it with our D3. And it helps, vitamin K intake helps avoid plaque building or atherosclerosis or thickening of the arteries. The coronary calcification happens when calcium accumulates in the wall of the arteries, which provides oxygen to the heart. The plaque buildup is a sign of early coronary heart disease, which can block blood flow and trigger heart attacks. The research study that came out at the end of 2021, published in the Journal of Medical Sciences, found a connection among statin use and coronary artery calcification and vitamin K2 deficiency. The results shed light on how statins may spur calcium accumulation by inhibiting vitamin K. The study findings were in agreement with the existing evidence that positive association essentially with this is not okay. They said statins also cause issues as far as with selenium, which is also crucial for the heart, and a whole host of other research shows other side effects. And one thing about it is they've also talked about repeatedly on how important it is if you are on statins, which don't recommend it, but to make sure you're taking high doses of CoQ10, specifically ubiquinol, which is the bioactive form. They said the statin side effects are cut significantly with CoQ10 supplementation. One of those was muscle pain. They said the prevalence of initial visit was 64% of the people had side effects with muscle pain once they started on statins. And they said the prevalence of the final visit after taking CoQ10 was 6%. 6%. It dropped that significantly. Another one here too said fatigue was 84% of the complaints from side effects from statin drugs once people started on them. 84%. That was cut to 16% once CoQ10 was implemented. Now, you got to understand, CoQ10 isn't just going to prevent everything and the negative side effects from statins to the body, but what it shows you again is why CoQ10 is so important and why we recommend it so much. There's an article that Harrison wrote on there. It's called CoQ10 and essentially more benefits for heart, lung, brain health. And it goes into detail how the heart failure is a consequence of multiple other issues in the body in most cases that lead up to this. And it talks about how CoQ10, especially the ubiquinol form, massively increases heart functioning with the cardiac muscle and a whole host of other things. So I want you guys to read this article if you get a chance on how important CoQ10 is. Even if you're not on statins, CoQ10 is extremely essential for the body, really good for energy production, really good for overall heart health, really good for brain health, and the list goes on, and that's why we carry the ubiquinol form, which is actually the Kanika patented version, which is one of the most, pretty much the platinum standard of CoQ10 ubiquinol on the market. Because be very careful, you can go to Walmart or Sam's, which I don't know why you'd go to Walmart, but I get it, sometimes people go there, and you'll find numerous CoQ10s on the market, and most of them are like $10 a bottle, $15 a bottle. And you'll look in most cases, and they have to add red 40 to the gel capsule to make CoQ10 look red so people think it's actually a high-quality CoQ10, which in most cases, these manufacturers, they get CoQ10 powder form out of China. This is the most common form in my manufacturing field, what they do. They get CoQ10, the cheapest, most synthetic form out of China, and they basically have it in a powder form. They put it in an oil suspension, they capsulate it, and then they sell it for $20 a bottle. And most time this stuff, they're paying 90 cents, dollar, $2 a bottle, and it doesn't work at all, period. The people that I've seen that have talked that have taken it, when they take it, they get zero effects from it positive. They start on the CoQ10, their memory gets better, their heart health gets better, their cholesterol gets better, their energy gets better. So again, if that's something you're looking into and you need to do it as you get older, make sure you're getting a high-quality CoQ10 like ours with ubiquinol. And by all means, before you start on those statins when it comes to cholesterol, do some research, please, my friends. Read these articles and do the research on them, because in most cases, cholesterol is really, really easy to get under control with a healthy diet, Dad. We've talked
about this a lot. First of all, we have to make the most important comment. Nobody likes going to Walmart.
I actively avoid it.
Oh, my gosh. I went there.
Especially don't go late at night.
I know. I went there the other night.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
I went there like on Saturday night. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
And it's like every strange person from the planet showed up at the Auburndale Walmart, and I'm walking around going, yeah. Then I'm walking out to the parking lot, and I've got my hand in my pocket on my Glock, thinking to myself,
everybody's loitering, walking around the parking lot.
I just want to get out of here alive.
I think Walmart's probably the only place, as far as per demographics, you'll find more people with colored hair and tie-dyed hair than you find people that don't have colored hair. I've noticed that when I go there.
Well, and the crazy part, I remember when I went there, when during COVID, it was like there were masks everywhere.
They tried to. I remember we went through that one time. They yelled at us. They said you have to wear masks. I just need to get. I want to be here less than you want me to be here. Yeah. I'm not wearing a mask. I just gotta grab.
But
this
I had
and
to
go.
Cover the Walmart part first. That was that important. But the thing with CoQ10 and statin drugs, it's. The body manufactures coenzyme Q10, the heart does,
right.
Until you take a statin drug, and then it stops manufacturing it. So the problem with that is that as you get older, you start to decrease the production of coenzyme Q10, which is incredibly important for the body and, for, like you said, to prevent arterial calcification. So what ends up happening, along with the vitamin K too, but the problem is what ends up happening, Austin, is when people take these statin drugs, they shut down the coenzyme Q10 production, and then they end up with skeletal muscle necrosis. That's what causes the muscle pain. And the skeletal muscle necrosis is simply this: the skeletal muscles start to die. Your muscles start to rot. They die on the inside out. You start having all this pain. You get very, very weak. You start having tremendous problems with thinking. You start having arterial blockages from the doggone muscles getting into the bloodstream. I remember years ago, this is an interesting story. I had this is over 20 years ago now. I had a pastor friend of mine that I had met on Daystar TV. This is back 23 years ago. And he was about 50, 60 pounds overweight, had all kinds of health problems. And I remember he got on my Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. He got on the supplements from Health Masters. He started losing weight. He cut out the top 10 foods never to eat. And he ended up having tremendous results, lost like 40, 50 pounds, dropped like 16 inches on his waistline, had to have all new clothes made. It was great. Finally, he calls me up and says, I want you on my show. And we went on the show and we started talking about health, to the Christian market. Now, what was interesting about this, his mother then, who was having all kinds of health problems, contacted me because she had my personal cell phone number because he wanted me to help her also. And I said, okay, I'll help her too. Well, she decided that she's going to start on statin drugs after I warned her about the skeletal muscle necrosis, and I warned her what it would do. And she ended up basically going on the statin drugs, and then she started having kidney failure. And she calls me up, and I had warned her about, but what happens is those muscle fibers get in the bloodstream and start plugging up the kidneys. That's why you have these kidney clinics everywhere now. You have all these places that are, I mean, it's ridiculous. You drive down one road over here in Lakeland, close to us, there's like kidney centers, dialysis centers
everywhere.
The way down. The reason they're there is because of what's happening with the CoQ10 and what's happening with skeletal muscle necrosis, Austin. So the truth is you've got to be taking coenzyme Q10 if you want to produce as much energy as your mitochondria can produce and to protect the heart.
Yep.
But remember, we have in our book that we did, Breakthrough Health, that I actually had written specifically for Rod Parsley with his show Breakthrough, we have the top 10 basically drugs never to take. And one of those drugs, the first one on the list, was the statin drugs. And Austin's right. It's very easy to control cholesterol 99.99% of the time without taking statin drugs. And quite frankly, your mind has to have cholesterol. Your hormones have to have cholesterol. It's a fat. And when you start decreasing the production of that, all disease rates go up, including cancer. When you get under 200 on your cholesterol levels, the rates go through the roof, especially cancer. So I always tell people, your cholesterol is between 200 and 300, whatever, who cares? It's not worth the risk. And then another study was done years ago. You guys can look it up. And it said, if you're on statin drugs for about 37 years, you live like 3 days longer. 3 days. So for 3 days, you're dealing with skeletal muscle necrosis. You're dealing with all kinds of mental problems. You're dealing with not being able to think. You're dealing with, you know, forgetting everything. For what, 3 days? I'll just live with a higher cholesterol. And quite frankly, if my cholesterol, as long as it stays under 300, I don't care. And I last time I had it tested, it was a little bit under 200, so it was a little bit low. So I increased my eggs and my butter, which is difficult to do because the body, you know, has to process and make its own cholesterol. But cholesterol is important. You can't make testosterone without cholesterol. Oh, you can't make testosterone, which is that male hormone that gives you aggression. It's that male hormone that lets you make decisions. It's that male hormone that makes you, helps you to maintain body mass. It's that male hormone that makes you a man and makes you not basically a girly man. I can't believe I'm saying it like that, but it's true. And so what happens is if you don't have testosterone, you start to lose what it is to be a man. And so you're not going to stand up and fight like you need to protect your family or to stand up against the government and the tyranny that's enveloping us. So imagine that. They put a drug on the market that decreases testosterone in men to make us more girly. Wow. Think about that for a second.
And then tell you you have to take it if you want to stay alive and not have heart disease.
Well, you're not going to say if you don't take this, you're going to die.
Yep.
I mean, what is that all about? And so you stop and think about it. You think, well, this is just part of the globalist agenda in order to destroy mankind and destroy us from fighting back. You know, talk about fighting back. You know, President Biden now is saying that he had no idea that he had declared Transgender Day of Visibility Easter Day, Easter Sunday. And I got to cover this for a second. I'm going to show you this. It says, today on trans, this is right from him. President Biden has his little count here. Today on Transgender Day of Visibility, I have a simple message to all trans Americans. I see you. He also sees things walking around the platform with him, Austin. He shakes hands with invisible creatures that he may be actually seeing too. Just thought I'd mention that. And then he says something. I'm going to show this. So I'll show you my cracked screen here in a second. He goes, I see you. You are made in the image of God. Whoa, wait a minute. And you're worthy of respect and dignity. Transgender Day of Visibility. Here, you can see this on the screen. There you go. You can focus it on it, you know, after the show. But he says that. Now, remember, their God is an hermaphrodite, Ein Sof. And he's saying, you're made in the image of God, and therefore I see you, and you're worthy of respect and dignity. Because and Carvel came on, and he did a big thing on him to try to defend him. And he goes, oh, by the way, Biden goes to church every single Sunday and does communion.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I believe that when I see it. But he says, Donald Trump doesn't go to church at all. That's probably true, too. And then he goes to say, you know, he knew all about you. He's in church. Well, but he didn't know it was Easter Sunday. Wait a minute. Carvel's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. He's saying that Biden goes to church every Sunday. Well, that must mean Easter Sunday too, right?
Yeah. Okay?
He doesn't know it's Easter. I mean, if the POTUS, you know, doesn't know it's Easter and he's going to church every Sunday, the boy's as senile as it gets, period. And that's what I want to say. And then you understand. I'll show you this too. It says Carvel. This is from Breitbart. Carvel, Biden didn't know Easter was Trans Visibility Day. No one in the White House knew that there was an Easter overlap. And there you go. This is a spin. This is a lie. I don't believe Carvel at all for this.
I don't even believe they remotely
believe that. No, because, I mean, but see, there'll be a group of people now that are extreme liberals that may be going to church still, and they're going to say, oh, he didn't know. It's Easter Sunday. It's the holiest day of the Christian calendar, and everybody tries to go to church on Easter, but somehow the president of the United States had no idea this was going on. Give me a break. You know, but you know what he did is he ran his mouth too much, and now he's saying that he didn't even say it. So I kind of laugh about all of this stuff. And I'm going to read something, too. And this is Vladimir Zelenko. And, he's an interesting guy. I could have had him on the show years ago before he passed away, but I chose not to. And I read this from him a little bit while ago. And here's why. He was a Kabbalist. He used to teach Kabbalah. And so I wasn't putting a Kabbalist on the show. Now, someone told me, who's a friend of his, who knew him well, that he accepted Christ before he died. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I hope it's true. But I'm telling you direct knowledge from the person who basically prayed the sinner's prayer with him. But he said something, and suddenly he dies at the age of 48. And here's what he said, because he's pretty powerful. He had a lot of people following him. He goes, I've read this before, but it's been a couple of years ago. I'm a conspiracy realist. Vanguard and BlackRock are stakeholders in all industry, media, academia, and politics. Vanguard and BlackRock invested each other through something called circular ownership. thus consider Vanguard and BlackRock as a monopoly that owns everything. With due diligence, you will discover that the major stakeholders of this monopoly are the Rothschild family, the DuPont family, the Rockefeller family, the Carnegie family, the Orsini family, the American Bush family, and the British royal family. These are the bloodline people that I talk about on the show. They use the following foundations to foment chaos around the world: Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Soros Open Society Foundation, and the Clinton Foundation. These foundations are instrumental for geopolitical destabilization. Chaos is good for business and power acquisition. Only a divine-inspired force can overcome this Goliath. And then he goes to say, the owners of Vanguard BlackRock monopoly are a manifestation of the primordial serpent. That's Lucifer. Now, he said this, and quite frankly, a little bit after he said this, he was dead. Now, whether this had anything to do with him dying or he has some health problems, I'm not making those speculations. But here's what I will say this. When you understand who runs the planet and how they run, and then Biden is saying in his own article here that these transgenders are made in the image of God, there's a problem here that most people don't talk about on their podcast, and that's why I wanted to bring it up today. You know, and I was talking to a good friend of mine this morning, and he was talking about how, you know, if he was going to do a podcast, he'd talk about the philosophy of life and what's going on in the world, and also about the spiritual aspects of what's happening globally. And he's absolutely right. And that's what we try to do on this show. I mean, we try to tell you, hey, there is a God, newsflash, you're not him, and I'm not him. He's God. He's a being whose presence is so powerful, it permeates all time space in the past, in the present, in the future. It's so powerful, he occupies all of it in his dimension, so he's omnipresent. That's God. You're not God. Now, we are created in his image, and we connect with him through the Holy Spirit, through the blood of the Lamb, through Jesus Christ, then we're reconnected into his energy field, if you want to call it that, or into his covenant with him, and then we can come boldly to the throne of grace, which, quite frankly, I'm going to pass on the boldly throne of grace stuff. I mean, if I get to be in the presence of God Almighty, it's probably going to be face down. Just thought I'd mention that to you, too. Some of these songs are saying, I'm going to come boldly and talk to you about this or that and that. My response is always, I don't think you're going to do that. I think you're going to be so overwhelmed by the sheer power of God that you're going to kind of go, I just want to get out of here and just continue to worship him and make sure he doesn't get mad. And that's why we have to walk circumspectly with the Most High God, with great reverence and respect. That's why when you pray, you always pray in the name of Jesus. You always thank God repeatedly. You tell God you love him all the time. You think, well, is he that powerful that you need to do that? Let me give you a newsflash here. It says through Christ, all things are held together. When Christ died on the cross and he separated himself from God, we basically had earthquakes all over the planet, and the earth, in my opinion, would have come apart. God stepped in and stopped it. So, yes, he's that powerful. And so when you're in his presence, it needs to be circumspectly with great reverence and awe. You know, it's so funny, Austin. I talk about this all the time with Generation Z.
Yeah.
You know, they're not being taken to church. In most cases, they're not learning about God. They're not learning who God is. They're unbelievably disrespectful to their parents. They have no respect for anybody, even themselves in most cases. And I wonder if this is a continuation of what they're doing here to destroy the culture and to destroy our relationship with God, because when these kids can't respect their parents and they're, the little kids, you'll ask them a question and they'll look at you like something's wrong with you and they'll walk away and they won't even speak to you. Then the parents think it's okay because they're not doing parenting anymore. They're trying to be the child's friend. And we talk about this on the show all of the time. And the sad part about that is that we are the ones who teach our children how to have a relationship with God. We are the ones that direct them and guide them in all the ways of their life. That's why it says to us in the Bible, train up a child in the way that he should go or she should go. And when he was old, he will not depart from it. So if we don't do that and take that upon ourselves and take them to church and teach them that there is a God, what's going to happen to their generation of children? It'll be godless. They won't even consider God any longer. And that's exactly what's happening. That's why, 30% of Generation Z says they're bisexual now?
Oh, yeah.
So, this is a lot. But I want to cover this stuff with Zelenko this morning because, you know, I wanted to give him, and I wanted to basically let you guys know that he's the one who quoted this, and he's absolutely right. But the truth is, if we don't serve the Most High God, if we don't do what we're supposed to do on an ongoing basis, if we don't pray on an ongoing basis, even our own relationship with God will start to get further and further apart. I'm going to say something to you, and this is very important. You know, when you pray, does God hear your prayer? When you pray, does God pick up the telephone? You know, it's like this. if you don't have a relationship with God, and all of a sudden the only time you ever need his help is when you shoot up a flare gun and go, hey, it's 911 emergency, come help. You know, how many people have that type of relationship with God? Wouldn't it be better to know, oh, that's Ted, or that's Austin calling, or that's Lana calling, or that's somebody else that you know calling, and God says, oh, yeah, I know him. Go ahead, grab, hand me the phone, you know, just as a metaphor. And so this is the thing that we need to understand. Have that relationship with God. Tell him that you love him. Tell him that you appreciate him. Tell him that you're in awe of what he's done and how he's created the universe. Have that relationship with God so that when you call on the hotline, he's there. But don't just call on the hotline when you need something. Praise him daily. Listen to praise and worship music daily. Learn to have a relationship with God, not just a 911 relationship. You know, it's like the kid who goes to college and he never calls you back. The only time he ever calls you is when he's broke. My credit card just got flagged. I can't get gas, or my credit card get flagged. I can't go get dinner, blah, 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 blah. So he calls you up pitching a fit. That's not the relationship that you want. You want the kid who calls you up every day and talks to you and appreciates what you've done for him, and he appreciates what he's doing for you, and you have a reciprocal relationship. That's what a relationship with God is all about, through Christ. That's what we need to be striving for all the days of our life. That's why I pray for you guys all the time. And I ask God to bless you and keep you, allow his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and to grant you grace, mercy, peace, love, prosperity, companionship, a long life, and good health. I station angels around you. I plead the blood of Jesus over you. I put a hedge of thorns around you all of the time, as much as I possibly can, because I realize that you and I are in Austin. We're all in this together. You're part of my family now. I mean, now we're coming into your living room with these crazy shows that basically we try to keep light sometimes and talk about the problem with the people who go to Walmart and all the other stuff, because we want you to know that we're here to be with you, entertain you, inform you, and give you hope. And that hope is in the form of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who created the heavens and the earth. Just want to share that with you this morning. Austin, what do you think, buddy?
No, it was really well said. And, I mean, one part going back to as far as with children and whatnot, it's also the factor of making sure that they're learning and growing and adapting and not just being idiots on iPads. And I bring this up all the time. The reason why I bring this article and these topics up all the time is because this is one, in my opinion, one of the most systemic problems from a psychological standpoint. When you take a young developing child and you put them on all types of different electronics, most of which are not beneficial.
That's right.
Most of the content on these programs are not beneficial. People fail to realize that the television was patented as a mind control device in the 50s. That's newsflash. It was designed in order to push propaganda and change the direction and mindset of which people think and push them in a certain direction. That's what it's for. Now, can television be entertaining? Can television be informational? Absolutely. I mean, we're doing this show. You're watching on something. We're bringing topics to you every day. But a lot, a vast majority of the children's programs, especially that are online and on YouTube and on these kids' platforms, are not that beneficial. There's some are, but a lot of them are not. A lot of them, especially nowadays, have become so underlined perverted with so much subliminal messaging in it. It's embarrassing. It's really sick at the highest level, because you're taking children, which are already in a brainwave state that are very, very open.
Theta brainwave.
Open to everything. Anything you tell them, they pretty much accept from an authoritative standpoint. So if they're watching somebody that they admire on TV or on their iPad or on their YouTube or on their social media, and they're hearing different types of information, they're getting told different types of indoctrination and perversion, they're going to accept it. And what happens is you've got to look at a balance of hourly time and as far as involvement. You know, kids are involved in school, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours a day in these communist indoctrination camps in public school. Now, there's all types of other school programs you can run with homeschool co-ops and stuff that I'm a huge fan of that I'm involved in. But you got to look how much time is actually being spent. If your kid gets up and goes to school at 7:30 in the morning, you see them 5 minutes before they leave, then they get home when you get home from work or before you get home from work, you see them, and then they go in their bedroom, they sit on their Nintendo or PlayStation or iPad the rest of the night, and eat some food in there by themselves or eat junk food, whatever it is, and then they go to bed, they do the whole thing. How much actual involvement are you involved with them? And I get it. Time, work, money, those are all factors that play a role in trying to balance things, especially as a guy, and trying to handle things for the family. I get that. But at the end of the day, you've got to then make sure that this, what they're getting exposed to and what they're learning and what they're being taught when you're not around, is at least the most beneficial for them. It's just something to really look at and understand. And on top of that, making sure you can maintain their overall health and immune system and strength, because that's something, again, that happens a lot with the junk food these kids are eating, with the red food coloring. Then they start having all these behavioral problems, and they get put on Adderall. Then they're on amphetamines for decades. Then they have all kinds of other issues that come about from that. So, again, understand that and do your own research and do us the best that you possibly know how to do. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting as well. I was reading an article here, and it was talking about how this virologist is warning about an imminent new COVID crisis among the vaccinated that is going to cause a whole lot more health issues. What's interesting about this is this guy on a world-renowned Belgian virologist, Geert Bosch, issued a warning on an imminent tsunami of COVID illnesses among the vaccinated that he says is going to cause a lot of chaos. Now, again, I can't verify everything this guy is saying. However, he does have a very long pedigree and a whole lot of knowledge in this topic. And he said what you're going to see happen, for example, is more and more cases are going to turn into what's called a serious long COVID. This will start to replace the surge of cancers. Now we have a more chronic phase, and it's going to be the hyper-acute phase. I've been studying this now for 4 years, and I know what I'm talking about. I'm probably the only person who understands the immunology behind this. And he goes into detail here talking about it. He goes, the thing I want my audience to understand is that they're going to be these individuals that are multi-vaccinated are going to start running into hyper-acute COVID crises. And when he goes into details talking about how the immune system has been so overly stimulated repeatedly with this RNA gene therapy shots, it has had these massive spikes where the immune system gets massively artificially stimulated. And then it starts producing spike proteins. Within spike proteins, the body starts fighting with the immune system, and it starts downregulating it because it gets so exhausted and worn out. Then you have on the fact that the vast majority of these people that are taking these shots are not taking proper nutrients. They're not staying up to date on vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc. So what's happening is now you're running in this path, this systemic issue that more and more health problems are starting to occur while these individuals essentially are getting more and more shots. So he goes on to say here, he goes, we saw this with the Ebola vaccination in Africa a number of years ago. He goes, however, if you do this on a very large scale, like we see with the RNA shots, you're going to see the truth will surface, and a lot more people are going to start getting sicker and sicker over the coming years. So again, something to be aware of. And again, that's why it's so important to maintain overall health and nutrition with vitamin C, the D3, and the zinc. That's why we have the immune support kit we put on. It's such a simplistic kit, yet it works so effectively well, even for people that have had issues or if they have taken the shot. Same thing goes with the spike protein survival kit with the natokinase. That's an incredible formula that I always recommend that people look at on there, because that gives you the N-acetylcysteine, the natokinase, and the vitamin E to really maintain overall cardiovascular health, prevent blood clots, and detoxify the body. Now, if you really want to add something into that, and I didn't put it in the kit because I was trying to keep it cost effective on sale with the spike protein survival kit, you throw in exactly what we just talked about earlier, the COQ10 for overall cardiac support with that kit, with the vitamin E, the natokinase, and the N-acetylcysteine, and that'll really, really help out with overall support of the cardiac muscle. Also, too, in other news, this is something I want to bring up as well, speaking about phones and iPads, and a lot of times with these kids getting hooked on this stuff, there's an article that came out that says how to break the constant dependence on your phone, escape your digital prison. And it talks about here now how a lot of young adults are on their phones from 5 to 6 hours a day, and it being almost zero productivity in most cases. They're not on the phone talking to business clients. They're not texting individuals about contracts. They're not doing platforms where they can try to generate revenue. They're simply wasting time mindlessly to continue to get dopamine hits. And it talks about this becoming more and more impulsive usage of the phone, not as a need, not as a response, not as a connection, not as they need to basically do something for business, but simply doing it just to kill time. And it talks about here about being mindful, first off. It also talks about you can put on certain things like time restrictions on certain apps. If you know apps are going to cause a lot of issues, you're going to be using them a lot, restrict them down to 30 minutes a day or an hour a day or whatever you need to do on that. It also talks about understanding the reason and then setting out certain goals where if you do something, have it more as a reward, not as a crutch. We're like, okay, I'm going to put my phone down right now. I've got to get this and this and this done. I'm not going to mess with it until I get done with this. I'm going to set aside this hour, 2 hours of work, focus, business, goals, reading, meditation, Bible, whatever you want to do, but setting it aside so you're going to focus on the specific task. Because I've told people before, it's crazy. If you put your phone on do not disturb, you're working, you got a lot of stuff done, you can get in 2 to 3 hours of straight work, you can get done almost everything you need to get done depending on how efficient you are in your time management. Now, if you're on the phone and you're constantly getting distracted or you're constantly on business meetings and calls, that's a different story. But again, there's something also to it talks about on here. It says other meaningful activities. This is interesting. It said, for example, if you reach for your phone when you feel overwhelmed or anxious, maybe sitting there and focusing on something positive or reading a book, doing stretches or push-ups, doing breathing exercises, or connecting with a friend and talking to someone. This is a serious issue, apparently. You're having a lot of people now that are so addicted to phones where they literally sit on them almost 24/7 mindlessly, not even being productive. So I thought I'd bring that article up on here because this is what starts to happen with the younger kids. Because you remember, 6, 7, 8-year-old kid, they're not doing business connections online. They're not having conference calls. They're not setting up, you know, meetings with partners in business. They're simply there to waste time in a vegetative state. So, again, be very cautious on how much screen time these kids are getting and make sure if they are going to be using it, try to make sure it's something at least clean, if not productive, at least clean. It doesn't have a bunch of perversion with all this nonsense they're putting in the media now with this kid stuff, Dev.
You know, it's true, Austin. I mean, you've seen what's happened with these kids as far as when they get on pornography at a young age. It really messes up their brains.
It's super bad for young kids.
And it really starts to affect them negatively because they start seeing things from a perversion standpoint.
Correct.
They have a prism of perversion they're looking through, and they see everything that way. And I've seen it, you know, with people that I've known whose kids have basically just gone berserkoid because of porn.
Yeah.
And so you got to put screen protection on there. You've got to put – but the problem with that is they can use somebody else's telephone too. That's what this all runs into. And then a lot of times these kids are so smart, they learn how to take off their own safeguards. So be very, very careful when you have kids that are involved with that kind of stuff. Watch them and make sure they don't. Personally, I never gave the kids iPhones until they were like 15 years old. Now you think, well, I don't think you should have done. No, stop. When you homeschool a kid, why do they need an iPhone? Honestly, they can pick up a hard line phone at the house, which I still have one, by the way, and they can call their friends that way. And I have it. Mine's so my home line lights up in my bedroom when someone's on it, so I know if they're on the phone or not. And I've actually gone in and unplugged the entire system before because I couldn't get a kid off the telephone. So I was unplugged at all, and that stops it. But the reality is if they're going to hang out with kids that are bad, because bad company will always corrupt good character. It doesn't work the other way around. And some kids are very weak-willed. They're very weak. They're not leaders, and they continue to follow the leader who's not really a leader but a doggone addict. And they continue to get themselves involved in what's happening with drugs. Perfect example, Germany now has gone green. Now, what does that mean? Cannabis has become legalized. Drug crime prisoners are all released in Germany. Now, why would that happen? Well, let me share something with you. And I'm not saying that pot can't have medicinal values, that THC can't help cure things, because it does. I know that it does. I'm not saying that if you have a card that you get to do that because you have all kinds of mental issues or one type of mental issue or whatever, or post-traumatic stress. I got all that. But the reality is, as a recreational use drug, it doesn't really promote, how should I say, a person to be goal-oriented. Just saying, okay? These people usually are very laid back. They want to take a nap. They want to have the munchies. And I remember, I know so many kids, and Austin knows I'm right. I've known so many kids, you know, in college and in high school who started smoking pot when they were young, and they continue to smoke pot. And invariably, none of those guys, not one of them that I know, did anything with their lives. They think, well, how are you calculating did anything with their lives? Well, most of them have had varying different jobs. They haven't had really stable careers. They haven't done anything from a educational standpoint. In most cases, they haven't gone to college because they wanted to sit around and sleep all the time and be drugged up. That's not a good place to be. Plus, if you're young, and this is really important if you listen to me on this one now, if you're young and you're smoking pot, you have arrested brain development. It stops the development of the brain. So if you do a lot of pot when you're 13, 14, 15 years old, you pretty much stay from a mental standpoint 13, 14, or 15 years old. So if you're living in your parents' basement when you're 13 years old, you do pot a lot. You're probably living in your parents' basement when you're 39 years old. And you say, well, that's ridiculous. I didn't say it wasn't ridiculous. I'm just saying this is what happens. So I see that over and over and over again. You go to a class reunion, and you start seeing all the people that did all the drugs. You know, after a period of time, they just stop coming to the class reunion because they don't want to talk about their lives. And I've seen it repeatedly. Very rarely does that ever break. By the way, Austin was also talking about how more people are dying. They're saying that the average person who took multiple shots now is going to live about 25 years less. Those are statistics.
25 years?
Yeah. If you got like fully vaccinated.
Is that like the 4, 5, 6 shots? That's like the whole yeah. roster?
I guess it is. I don't know. They, but, you know, it's all speculation anyhow. But the reality is that and it's primarily from cardiovascular disease. Because of the spike proteins getting inside of the heart muscles and all the other stuff, you know, it's arteries and the arterioles.
That's why the natokinesis is so important, though, too, as far as
that's why you have to be spike protein prevention. Yeah. But 25 years less,
That's a jump, bro.
I know.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's golly. Bad. But they're saying that the problem that the damage being done, it starts to mitigate itself after about a year if you stop taking the shots. And that's why they're pushing the continual boosters. And they're saying over a million people now over the age of 65 in the United States have died who've taken the shots. Over a million. And so I told you they want to decrease the amount of money they're having to put out for Social Security.
Oh, yeah.
The thing about these guys, these Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan people, and it was so epitomized on that one show, South Park. I'm not promoting South Park, okay? It's got some weird stuff on it, okay? But they did one show, and they had these guys that were running the Earth from a different planet. And they were looking at They were bankers. And they had really big noses. It was weird. Just thought I'd mention that. Just They did. You watch the show. And they were talking about how the Earth wasn't productive enough.
It wasn't profitable enough. They said it wasn't making enough money anymore.
Yeah, so they had to destroy it. It wasn't that it wasn't profitable. It wasn't profitable enough. And I've seen this, you know, when bean counters get into places like, you know, General Motors and dealerships and all that, they start coming in and they start looking at every bolt, every nut, everything. And you got to make, if you got a 25-cent bolt, you got to make at least, you know, another 10 cents on it. So if you don't make the 10 cents, they chastise the people that are there in charge. I'm not exaggerating. I've seen this. And so you think, well, are you that cheap? You go buy a car from them, and they act like you're doing them a favor.
Well, I've told a lot of people this before in the automotive industry. You know, I've always been a big motorhead my whole life, so I've been huge in the automotive industry for years.
I wonder where you got that from.
Yeah, I know. I wonder where I got it from. It's funny, though, because I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day about it, and you know, he worked at a dealership too, and he said what happened was after the COVID boom and all the influx of money came in, these dealerships got used to making these insane profit margins, you know, putting $20,000, $30,000 addendums on trucks, and the problem is people paid it. That was the problem.
Many are going bankrupt.
Many of them have default on vehicles. Many of them are upside down. That's why I told everybody when that was going on, I said, dude, you don't ride the stairs up. It goes the stairs up and the elevator down. And that's exactly what we watched now, a lot of these vehicles that people did this on. And so what's happened is now the dealerships have gotten they got so used to that much money coming in. Now they're trying to figure out more and more ways to keep that gravy train going. So they're trying to cut as far as prices on certain things, as far as on what they're giving on trade-ins, yet they're still trying to get full retail on a lot of vehicles. That's why most dealers right now, they still want MSRP, or they're still trying to push addendums, but yet you go to trade something in that's a year or two old, and they're offering you $20,000-$30,000 less. You go, wait a minute, the same vehicle that's a year newer now that you have on the showroom floor, you want $10,000 over sticker, but you want to offer me $20,000 under sticker on it. And you know when you get it, you're going to list it probably right at sticker, even though it's a year old. Well, yeah, we got to make sure we cover our margins. That's a $50,000 spread, you know, on an $80,000, $90,000 truck.
No, it's stupid.
It's insanity.
No. And you're right. They got used to that.
They did.
The other day, I bought a car. I don't like cars very much, but I bought a car. And they offered me a wheel tire protection package.
Oh, yeah, that's the best one.
Oh, no.
I'll give you guys a heads up on that.
It was $3,000. Yeah. And I looked at him. I said, I can buy all new tires for my car for less than $3,000.
It's all prorated based on miles, based on time. They have an entire table scale they use.
Well, no, and I asked him that. I said, well, what if I only keep the car for a couple of years? It's a 5-year program. And he goes, well, we prorate it. I said, prorate it to what?
Yeah.
I said, how much money will I get back in a year if I give you $3,000 and I trade this vehicle back in? He goes, oh, I don't know. He knew exactly what
there's a whole table, and I've seen it before. I know all the dealers. There's a table on the miles. There's a table on the time. There's a table on everything. What they do is they deduct. Oh, by the way, that $3,000 package, you're trading the car in a year. Oh, you get a $300 check coming back to you.
$300.
You're like, I just blew $2,700. I never even used it. Well, yeah.
Well, but they give you, if you lose your key, they give you a new key too.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Don't forget the paint protection package, too.
The
$3,000 paint protection package.
The self-healing paint.
The entire car PPF for that.
No, I had a friend of mine. She did that. She actually, bless her heart, she got all that stuff. She put $10,000 worth of addendums on it.
God, and they did it. The dealerships were bad about it, man.
Well, no, it was $10,000 more. And then all of a sudden, then she had to file bankruptcy first, and her mom co-signed it. And then she put a $10,000 addendum on her. Payments are over $1,200 a month for a car that's like 5 years old now. And it's worth, $50,000 less than she paid for it. And she's stuck because she already filed bankruptcy. And she can't. And if she quits making payments on it, they'll go to her mom and make her mom pay for it. Now, her mom did a co-signing. By the way, the Bible says don't co-sign. Just thought I'd mention that to you. Don't do that unless you're planning on paying off the unit. By the way, Christian hip-hop artist Lecrae calls evil things taking place at parties hosted by P. Diddy Combs. He's still in the news, by the way. What do you think is going to happen at a P. Diddy party at his house? It's going to be evil. And I'm not even going to read about what happened on there. But, again, it's just part of what happens when you get involved with these types of people that are basically involved with things they shouldn't be.
What's the music industry out in Hollywood? I mean, I think everybody at the point now understands how perverted that entire realm is.
Well, and here's this is interesting. You know, because you know we all know who you know who Kanye West is. He now has apologized to the Jewish community in a post in Hebrew after repeated anti-Semitic remarks just a few months ago. So he is now. Well, I mean, I'll read it to you. This is out of CNN. Nice, really non-biased form. Kanye West, who has made repeated anti-Semitic remarks, posted an apology to the Jewish community for any unintended outburst caused by his words or actions. The recording artist, who has legally changed his name to Ye, shared the message written in Hebrew, you know, on an Instagram post just days ahead of his expected release of new music. The post had liked more than a million times on Tuesday morning because it was never my intention to disrespect or to hurt, and I deeply regret any pain I may have caused, his message read. Ye said as he committed to learning and ensuring greater sensitivity and understanding. In the future, adding, he is dedicated to making amends and working towards promoting unity. Wait a minute. In a statement to CNN responding to the post, the Anti-Defamation League, those guys are just, yeah. After causing untold damage by using his vast influence and platform to poison countless minds with vicious anti-Semitism and hate, an apology in Hebrew may be the first step in a long journey towards making amends to the Jewish community and all of those who he has hurt. I'm not going to make any more comments on this because I could really go on a little tear right now, but I won't. And but it's just one of those things you got to realize, oh, this is an unrelated comment. This has nothing to do with what Kanye did. I'm just going to say something very clear here so everybody gets it. Find out who you can't criticize. Nothing to do with Kanye. And you'll find out who rules you. Just a food for thought. What do you think, Austin?
I just going back to Dave Chappelle's SNL skit last year.
Oh, God.
Calling out so... Kanye West. He pulls out a little index card and he goes, I renounce anti-Semitism in all its forms. That, Kanye, is how you buy yourself some time. And he goes, there's two words in the English language you can never say. It's the Jews. No one ever does good after they say that.
But we're not saying that here.
I'm quoting Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle said that. Dave Chappelle was way out of line. He should have never said that. Just saying. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, I'm funny.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Don't send me emails.
Everybody's either laughing right now.
The thing about it is the thing that I find that I've always been intrigued with about comedy is if comedy is good, it has the ability to offend everybody and make everybody laugh at the same time. That's really the basis of comedy.
That's what Mel Brooks said.
It is. That's exactly what it is. And when you reach a point to where comedy can only be comedy because certain people say when they get offended by that certain comedy, nobody should be able to listen to those people, at that point it fails to become comedy. It should piss you off, and like, it should make you laugh at the same time.
It's like when you see the cuckold Will Smith walk up and slap Chris Rock upside the head because he's making a comedic joke.
Yeah.
Okay, which was a little bit off color. I got that. And Will Smith has completely destroyed his own career now doing all that. If we can't joke around about stuff, you know,
That's the thing that's gotten in society where you have certain groups of individuals, and you've seen this now with the whole transgender community, where they're like this protected race. They're not even a race, protected like subgroup. It's like, well, you can't say anything about them at any point in time for any reason whatsoever.
Perfect. I got a segue.
Okay.
This is a segue. You like this. Rishi Sunak, whoever that is, backs J.K. Rowling's right to free speech as Scotland's hate crime laws come into force.
Oh, yeah.
The Prime Minister says people should not be criminalized for stating simple facts on biology after author, this is one who wrote the Henry the Potter stuff, basically dared the police to arrest her for misgendering. Now, that's exactly what you just said. It's not a Daily Mail. If you suddenly see a guy, okay, the guy's 6'6", he's got a deep voice, got a heavy
his fingernails
beard,
done,
you know,
got his hair
you
done,
know, and you call him a guy because he looks like a guy and he talks like a guy and he probably doesn't walk like a guy, probably has a little sachet going on, but you wonder if he's a guy or a girl, but you kind of figure he's got to be a guy because he's about 6'6", 250 pounds, 3% body fat, and you look at him and you go, all right, I'm calling you a dude. I can't believe you called me a dude. You misgendered me. You got to go to jail now, peasant.
Jail. Straight to jail.
Oh, God.
Straight to jail.
I mean, this is...
Don't pass go.
And this is why we laugh about this. This is so stupid.
Right.
I mean, you know, at one time, you know, guys were guys and girls were girls. Now they're all in the middle somewhere else. And you kind of sit back and you joke about it and you go, you can't say that. That's anti-trans. No, it's anti-stupidity. Yeah. We're trying not to be stupid. We're trying to tell you the truth. We're trying to make you realize that sometimes you think a dude's a dude because he looks like a dude and a woman's a woman. Another thing I gotta do this too. This got me kind of racked back. The LSU coach Kim, this one hacked me off. LSU coach Kim Mulkey apologizes after her basketball team left the court before the American national anthem was played at the Iowa game. She goes, "I'm sorry, that's nothing intentionally done." Well, she lost the game anyhow. Of course it was intentionally done, you blithering idiot. What is wrong with you? Are you just trying to just, okay, this is baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet on this show. Okay, I like Corvettes. Just thought I'd mention that. And I cannot believe that they're going to walk out of the national anthem and then says, "Oh, we were unaware the national anthem wasn't going to be played." Oh, we never play the national anthem before.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Oh, we never do that.
It's only played at every single sports event.
So what we're going to do is we're going to walk out, and then we're going to get the crap beat out of us during a game, and we're going to come back and say, "Oh, by the way, I didn't know. She goes, "The coach of the LSU's women basketball teams apologized after her stars left the court." Yeah, because they were protesting America is what they were doing, in my opinion, just saying that. "Before the American national anthem was played at the NCAA game, they were going to lose against Iowa. Yet earlier in the evening, footage on social media appeared to show the LSU players skipped the national anthem before it played out at the Times Union Center. Iowa stars, meanwhile, stood hand in hand while taking in the Star Spangled Banner just minutes before the fixture. When asked about the incident in the aftermath, the coach said, "Honestly, I don't even know when the anthem was played." Well, that kind of speaks kind of.
That speaks for itself.
That's like Biden saying, I didn't know it was Easter. Are you kidding me?
But he goes to church every single Sunday and takes communion. Yeah.
Oh, takes communion.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is just crazy.
Now, we're probably going to get made fun of on this show today for all the facial expressions. That cat photo is going to get sent to you. If we can't, I told Austin, we started this video, I said, "We're going to lighten this thing up." I said, "I've had enough of this. We're going to be doing jokes." And I said, "Because we're gonna make fun of these people." That's what Mel Brooks said. You gotta make
everybody offended and make everybody laugh at the same time or in the same reference range. Is it really comedy?
I didn't know it was Easter, but I'm in church every
Sunday.
Yeah,
but I take communion. I take communion, really. Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Give me another story.
Speaking of epic failures like Biden, this article just came out now, and again, far left Disney failing once again. They said this is Breitbart, the Disney Grooming Syndicate.
The Disney Grooming Syndicate?
That's what they state. That's the opening title. The Disney Grooming Syndicate.
My, oh my, have they lost their image, boy. That's rough.
Yeah, lost $134 million loss on the last Indiana Jones. $134 million
loss. That's because the movie was awful.
I didn't even go see it.
Right. No.
And what's funny, it's gone such a long way.
Brought that tranny on it.
Yeah, they said Raiders of the Lost Ark, that was basically adjusted for inflation, did $1.3 billion.
Well, yeah.
That was a wild movie.
But we got to bring a tranny on.
Well, it's funny. You go from those early phases where it had the Ten Commandments.
Oh, and the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. I mean, that's what started
the power of God. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
They open that thing up at the end, and basically everybody dies.
Well, anybody who looked at it dies.
Then you go to The Last Crusade. You know, and he's reading through that book that he has, Only the Penitent Man Will Pass, Kneel Before God.
That's right.
And he has all those different things they're trying to get through on there. That was the Indiana Jones that everybody remembers. And then they came up with this weirdness that they've done now because Disney decides they want to just make everything.
Well, it's like Boeing. It's like Boeing had another problem and another emergency.
Another one?
Another trouble. No, listen to this. This one is just.
I'm driving from now on. I'm not flying.
I think it was a 777. It was coming out of Frankfurt. So somebody gets up and uses the bathroom like they're over, flying over the pole, supposedly the pole, whatever the pole's supposed to be. And just thought I'd mention that. I'm going there today.
You can't fly over the South Pole.
Well, no. And so what happens is the toilet blows up. The toilet.
That's pretty disgusting, dude.
And sewage is running down the hallway, the aisle in the plane.
While you're 40,000 feet.
Yeah, the stench is overwhelming. Okay, so they circle around out there with the sewage flowing, trying to call engineering up so they have to cancel the flight. And they say, "We can't fix it. We got to bring the plane back again. Go Boeing, go. Hire more trannies." Here's the thing. So now it goes back to Frankfurt and it lands. Everybody gasps for air.
Oh, they're probably vomiting,
dude. Oh, yeah. And now all of a sudden it's like, "Well, we're giving you a meal coupon and a free hotel room."
Here's a free bag of Cheez-Its.
Oh, my gosh.
Shut up.
So Boeing. Talk about a downward spiral, right into the pit of the abyss. I mean,
I told you, though, man, part of me thinks that this is not accidental, dude. part of me thinks that they're either going to, they're trying to short this market, or BlackRock's trying to come in and restructure it, or they're trying to just get rid of air travel. Something seems so odd about, how do you have a company that's been this successful, that's made aircrafts, I mean, enormous amounts of aircrafts over decades and decades, turn around now and have this many failures back to back to back to back, unless this really is a side effect of DEI.
It is.
It really is.
No, I remember I flew through Charlotte a few months ago, back to go to St. Louis with a friend of mine out there. And I remember I got stuck. I had a 5-hour layover in Charlotte because of equipment failure. And then coming back, I thought, well, Kimmy, again, we had a 4-hour layover in Charlotte. Now I don't even want to go through Charlotte anymore. I don't want to do it anymore because it's just debilitating to have to think like this, that, you know, that you're going to go through Charlotte and get stuck. So the last time I went to St. Louis, I went another route. I think I went through Dallas, if I remember right, because I had enough of it. I did not want to go through Charlotte because they can't find staffing who can repair the aircraft. Is supposedly the excuse. No, how about their hiring staffing that basically is based on DEI requirements through a basically exactly American Airlines now, and they're doing that. So we've got an issue here, especially when you, as a pilot, okay, this really hits close home to me, because, I mean, I've had emergency landings. You've been with me in two of them.
I have.
Okay, because the plane had an equipment failure that had nothing to do with me, because it's just something that failed during the flight that I had repaired. It failed again. But the reality is that this isn't a joke when you have this happen.
No.
Okay, and you know, we can joke about sewage, I guess, but what happens if methane gas gets in there, Austin?
Oh yeah.
Okay, what happens if all of a sudden people start dying in the doggone airplane because of methane coming out of the sewage tank?
That's a miserable death, dude.
Gasping for. I don't think there'd be enough methane to do that. But the point is, I mean, the stench is unbelievable. And you think, well, this is kind of you got doors blowing off airplanes. You got I'll never forget. A couple years ago, I'm on an airplane, and the beverage cart wouldn't stay put. And the pilot gets on the plane, gets on the intercom, and I'm not making this up. And he goes, does anybody on board have duct tape? And I'm like, duct tape? We're duct taping the airplane together? And sure enough, a stewardess jumps up, pulls a big wad of duct tape out of her purse, and says, I have duct tape, and runs to the front. And they and I'm like, now we're duct taping Boeing airplanes together so they don't fall apart. This has gotten strange, Austin. By the way, GHI cleanse. Every once in a while, we got to say something. Read the article that Harrison wrote. I read it yesterday. This is a phenomenal product. I already knew that in advance. I take it every single day. And always remember that if you take care of your body and you take care of your spirit, that God's going to take care of you. Your body will take care of itself the vast majority of time, because God's made it incredibly self-healing. Take and use the GHI cleanse as much as you possibly can. I try to take at least 2 scoops of it every single day. And I tell you what, I feel pretty good all the time. At least good enough to joke around on this show, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, one of the things about it is, this is one of the reasons why this has turned into such a popular product over the years, is because so many people, once they try it and they start using it as a detoxifying product, and they start doing a modified elimination
fast.
It works great. Now, I had a customer that responded to us on Instagram last night, and Lana was responding to him. I think we were talking about it, doing some business stuff, and they were asking as far as how they can do it, how they can utilize the product as far as, you know, fasting or just modified elimination. There's multiple ways you can use this product. So A, you've got the option of adding it into it as a detoxifying supplementation on a daily basis, meaning you take 2 scoops a day with a protein shake, use it as a meal replacement, set it, forget it, that's it. Then you have the secondary option where you can start going in, you can do a modified elimination diet, where you start cutting out certain meals and using this as a meal replacement and doing it 1, 2, 3 times a day. Then you also have the third option where if you want to do a full-blown fast with it, and you can do it either from a 2-day, 3-day, 5-day, 7-day, really depends on your goals, on your needs, and what you want, and you actually start using it as a full, true, modified detox fast, where you use this shake 2 or 3 times a day in order to replace all of your meals. Now, granted, your caloric intake is going to be very low because you're going to be doing a fast on that. So, again, decide what you feel is best, how you need to do it, because everybody's different. I can't give you one specific way to do it. I know some people, they'll make 3 or 4 shakes a day with this. I know some people that they'll do a full-blown fast and they'll only use 1 scoop, you know, twice a day. Granted, if you're doing a full-blown fast, in my opinion, I always recommend you try to drink at least 2 or 3 shakes of this a day.
Well, no. Well, here's the idea. If you're going to do it that way, what we suggest is that, and it's a great product. It's a great 7-day fast. If you want to, whatever your ideal weight is, if you're a lady and you want to weigh 120 pounds,
yep,
you take in 1,200 calories of this a day. If you're a guy and you want to weigh 180 pounds, you take in 1,800 calories of the GHI.
Now, how's that factor in, though, if you want to reduce your calories massively for a couple of days and make it more like a fast? You only want to do a couple of shakes?
Yeah, if you're going to do a fast, a cleansing fast, I'd do this first. Because this is going to help heal the liver. It's going to help, you know, heal inflammation. It's going to help the gastrointestinal system. I would do that. I would not just jump on a water fast. And I don't really recommend water fast. Anyhow, I recommend taking supplements.
Well, you got to have the nutrients, and that's what makes it so nice about that.
If you cut your fiber way out during a water fast, your bowels are going to stop, and you'll end up what's called
autoantoxication. This is loaded with fiber.
It's a great product. And in fact, we have a pastor, Chris Hodges, out of Alabama, out of Birmingham.
Yeah.
Good friend of mine. He goes every year, he goes on like a 21-day GHI cleanse for 21 days.
Yeah.
And when you maintain the body weight, actually, if you do that, you're going to drop body fat anyhow. You really are. Oh, yeah. You're going to drop down to your ideal body weight. So it's a great protocol to follow for fasting. But now, if you had a real health issue and you wanted to go on a water fast or a different, green life fast or other fasts that we have available, you could do that too. But I'd start with this one because in many cases, if you got a health issue, you start on this one for 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to be feeling a whole lot better. I've got a friend of mine now who's got a real problem with his immune system. He started taking this along with a supplement protocol and changed his diet. He's been on that protocol for like 5 weeks now. He's driving his car again. He's up running around again. I feel great. And so the key is your body is going to respond to the nutrients or the lack of nutrients that you put into it. If you have a body that basically is healthy, it's going to have a specific amount of high density intake of food and calories and nutrients every single day. So it has the ability to regenerate itself. If you don't have that, it's going to continue to degenerate as you get older, and then eventually the mitochondria will stop producing adenosine triphosphate, ATP, and you're going to die, period. And so it's important that you maintain all of that for as long as you possibly can to the best of your ability. It's like I said to you before, it's why Lebensstutzen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. Now you think, what the heck does that mean? Two principles in life that can never be broken, prayer and work. You pray like it's all up to God, and you work like it's all up to you, and that includes eating the right foods and stop eating junk and taking your supplements like you're supposed to. And I'll be honest with you, you'll feel great pretty much all the days of your life. I'm 68 now. I feel great. My energy's through the roof all the time. I keep myself in shape. I work out 6 days a week. I take GHI every single day. I even started taking more zinc and more B complex, and my hair went back to a darker color. I don't color it, by the way. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, okay, this is pretty cool. So I tried AG one time, Austin. I didn't like it. It was awful. I didn't want to do it anymore. So anyhow, so thank you for supporting us. And GHI on sale right now, last day.
Absolutely, my friends. Be sure to check it out. If you guys got questions or need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. And also, too, be sure to follow us on team_healthmasters at Instagram. Got a lot of different stuff we put out there every single day. We're trying to stay active and engaged with our customers. Again, if you guys get on there, go give us a follow, give us a like, share it. Go ahead and write comments. I love getting reviews and updates. It's very intriguing to me to see the updates and the activities that people are getting and the positive effects people are getting from some of these products. So be sure to check it out, team_healthmasters at Instagram. And also, too, be sure to give us a contact at healthmasters.com if you need anything. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. And we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow, as always.
Love you guys.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.